Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Tour set pop.
All right, so this is our first time recording for an episode in our new studio.
Yes, this is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
We got a brand new mic, the same one that you've been using mm-hmm. forever. And we're just really excited to have like our own space for the first time ever.
It's really cool to have two microphones, and we also have like our own headphones too. So we're listening to each other through the headphones.
Yeah.
We just feel bougie and just professional.
Yeah.
But we just wanted to let you know that as time goes on, this is our first time recording here, but we think that we'll start to perfect the sound a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I do live in a loft, so it's just echoes everywhere. So we'll do our best, but we already feel like we're getting the hang of it. And
yeah,
we're just happy to be able to record together and have like a podcast studio.
Yeah, this is a legitimate studio. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, we'll definitely have to put pictures once it's all done. We'll have to really upload pictures on our social medias
for sure. You definitely have plans for decorations.
Mm-hmm.
And like just to have a really cute, nice space for when we record.
Yeah. I've always been jealous of your little BTS shrine that you have. And I have all this BTS merch that I want to display.
You need to set up your own shrine right here.
That's what's gonna happen.
Like, oh, I cannot wait.
I can't either.
It's
gonna
be
great.
So fun.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Iconics. Thank you to our supporters on Patreon for making this possible also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. Thank you. This is the only way we're able to afford nice equipment and really get our sound quality nice and good, and that we can just do what podcasters need to do to put out episodes.
Good episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to give you guys like amazing sound quality.
It's always been a priority for us.
For sure.
Yeah.
It was one of our goals. Like,
definitely.
Like one of our active goals. So, you know, as we learn and adjust, it might change a little bit, but you know, We're doing it.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Yeah. So on that note, welcome back, Iconics. And if you're new to the podcast, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Stanning BTS.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is too. But disclaimer, this is an informative fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, I think that at this point, I just have to double bias.
You do have to double bias.
I have no choice.
It's just, it was the inevitable. It was what was meant to be.
Obviously.
Or J-Hope wasn't lying when he said ARMY was going to love September.
Oh my gosh, he wasn't. We are loving it.
Mm-hmm. There's so much coming out. Obviously, this whole episode is going to be about a lot of the content coming out, but yeah, not even all of it.
Yeah. So if you're here for that, then you're in the right place.
So today we are going to be talking about their America's Got Talent performance, their iHeartRadio Music Festival performances. And then as of today, when they put it out, we're like, we have to talk about it.
Clearly.
So we're also going to be talking about BTS on the NPR Tiny Desk concert.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. That's at the end of the episode and I'm so excited to talk about it. Yeah. But before we get into today's episode, we want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. If you would like to support us even further and have access to our Google Docs full of episode notes, important links and pictures, you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/standingBTS.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingBTS podcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. Any type of support is super appreciated. Thank you for being here and thank you for listening, guys.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much. Our charity of the month is going towards the Oregon fires, specifically in Mill City and specifically for my Uncle Richard and Aunt Brenda, who lost everything to a fire in Oregon. The only thing remaining in their house was the chimney stack. It is a tragedy. Obviously, so many people lost things, but this month we just wanted to share a charity that was, you know, really close. So if you guys would like to support them, there's a GoFundMe link in the description.
Yeah, definitely go check that out. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and start off with the America's Got Talent performance that they did. And we just want to say before we really dive into this, or at least I want to say, is that this isn't going to be like a moment by moment type of thing that we've done because we've seen Dynamite. We know Dynamite. So we're really going to get more into the significance of like the audience who is watching, just like really standout moments, how these performances differ from other performances. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get a little bit more into that. So a little less fangirling, I guess, for this episode, but we've been so fangirly lately.
We've been fangirling so much lately, and you know, we have to remind you guys that we can put out some really thoughtful pieces as well.
This episode, we need to put together some sort of information where it's not just vapid fangirling.
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably end up fangirling a decent amount
every episode, there's at least some.
All right. Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's talk about America's Got Talent. So they performed for America's Got Talent on September 17th, and we really want to talk about like the unique target audience for each of these performances. So for America's Got Talent, we really feel like it's going to be primetime TV viewers. And who are they? That's, you know, people who are watching TV in the evening, adults, you know, maybe like millennials, older millennials, Gen X, possibly baby boomers.
I really think baby boomers. Yeah. I really think baby boomers for America's Got Talent. Mm-hmm. Because America's Got Talent is like along the same lines of American Idol, and just think about the time in which that was popular.
My parents definitely watched that, and they're Gen X also. So like baby boomers, Gen X, I feel like would be super likely to watch something like this.
I think my parents, yeah, they always watch like just television programs like this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually their first live performance of Dynamite on a large set. So the VMAs, it was more of a green screen. Mm-hmm. So this was like a really thought out set and stage that they had. And honestly, when we thought about the VMAs, we thought that they would go to the extreme of this. But yeah. We kind of talked about in our last episode that we think that for the VMAs, they really dyed it down. They toned it down to not be like overwhelming or mm-hmm. just like stand out way too much from the other performances that were done on stage at the VMAs. But for this stage in this large set, they were in an amusement park. And throughout just like the entire set, you can see these subtle little hidden messages of BTS and ARMY. Mm-hmm. You see the symbols. But at one part, especially towards the end, when they're kind of like in the street area or the walking area where you would go maybe to play a lot of the carnival games or whatnot, they were walking on this street that had large red stars. Mm-hmm. And it really was reminiscent of the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
Maybe subliminal messages, right. Little hints of like, hey, our names might belong on the Walk of Fame.
Dude, I mean, and they know if they put that there, then we're going to talk about it and we're going to manifest it. And
it's going to happen. And it's just going to happen. This is how it's always been done.
Yeah, this is what BTS and ARMY does.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Something that also really stood out to me was the large like firework sparklers, which I have mixed feelings about these because mm-hmm. I hear like on stage they can be kind of like shocking or startling. Startling mm-hmm. is a better word for some of the performers or like people get injured or burned from them. Mm-hmm. But I really did like the effect of these firework sparklers because the song Dynamite and everything and they were outside. Yeah. It really fit the vibe and I thought it really was a wow factor for the set.
Oh, I totally agree. I didn't really think about the danger aspect when looking at them because mm-hmm. I didn't really know that background, but I would say I loved the effect. I think they looked really nice on stage.
Yeah, I like to believe that with BTS, they're very careful and they want to make sure that they're healthy and good.
They seemed like they were a good distance away from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I thought was unique in this performance was that BTS was in their disco outfits. So this is like their first time performing, performing Dynamite live in their disco outfits mm-hmm. from the music video. And obviously they looked so, so good.
Yeah. We love these disco outfits. Yeah. So getting to see them perform live in that was
with
great.
Like, you know, I mean, they all have the slicked back hair with that one. And so, you know, that they feel themselves in a certain type of way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing about this performance that stood out to me was just that their vocals were incredible. Yeah. I mean, I feel like really with Dynamite, we are getting a beautiful showcase of their vocals. But it was clear in this performance as well, like their vocals really stood out. It was that quieter background music and very forward vocals. The vocal line specifically was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely that instrumental is really pulled down and their vocals are really pulled up. And I think we're just going to talk about vocals a lot in this episode because we think this is a common trend with this comeback mm-hmm. that their vocals are really being put forth a whole lot more than in previous comebacks.
Yeah, I do agree with you that this is definitely a trend. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that their vocals haven't been important in past comebacks. I mean, obviously, they put out incredible music and they are amazing at performing it. And we've seen like more stripped down shows of theirs before where they have incredible vocals. But there is just a certain way that they're being featured specifically this comeback.
For sure.
That I feel like is, you know, it's kind of playing towards the American audience. Like BTS has to prove themselves so much more to the general American audience. And with the opportunity of a full English song, I feel like they are just showing, look, we are so talented. These are our vocals. Like, you know, we're not just some like mediocre pop group. Like we are serious artists with like real, really, truly like talented people.
And yeah. And I think that is such a priority when it comes to like American music. And I think that that could be potentially why that they're really showcasing the vocals.
Yeah. Because people will not give you like the time of day in general, like mainstream American music, you know, if you're theorizing that this is what BTS is really actively now trying to break into, you know, if you don't have incredible vocals, like you're not playing on the radio, you're not, you know, winning Grammys, like you're not, you know, people aren't giving you the time of day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think, intentional that they're bringing up the vocals. Yeah. Something also with America's Got Talent, that performance of Dynamite. I loved the camera work that was done, especially there at the end where they're on that like Hollywood Walk of Fame. The camera pans in and out for each member. And honestly, we get so much great screen time of all of them. Close-up shots of them. Close-up screen time for all of them, and that's just really something that we all want to see. And they look great, they're in those disco outfits, they're singing and performing really well, but the camera work I think adds to the feel and it's fun, and I really think it heightened the performance. It's already a great performance, but to have such great camera work and camera angles really helps.
Yes, I love that you're pointing out the camera work, like, because it was so good. And I feel like I noticed the camera work a lot and really appreciate it. And it's cool. Like, I mean, you're really appreciating the camera work now, too, which is like awesome. That is just standing out to you at this point, you know, because I do think that that was such a cool, like, use of the camera to zoom in on each member like that.
I think it made the America's Got Talent performance unique from the other performances
because
that we've seen.
We definitely haven't seen anything like that with this performance.
Dynamite,
kind of like, all, you know, it wasn't just staying in the center, it was going all around left to right, you know. It just made a very cool effect scene, the dance, the choreography from different angles, but also
low to high,
each member.
In and out.
Very cool.
So for standout moments for this performance for America's Got Talent, I, of course, have to just mention that I've become really numb when it comes to Taeyang. It's become overwhelming to the point where I'm actually numb. But Taeyang getting in that car. It's really funny because, Kayla, you were saying that you were a little disappointed when Taeyang's verse came, that he was just like walking.
He was not looking at the camera at all. Yeah. And I was like, come on.
Yeah, but he's walking to the car. And then little do you know, he's going to get inside the car, put on his safety seatbelt, of course. But then how he has his arm propped up and he's totally turned as if you were the driver of the car.
Yeah, like the way that the camera just immediately sits us into the car with him right there.
A dream. A total dream.
It was shocking.
And there's like this green lighting for Taeyang's forehead is out. It's just a great shot of him. It really is like putting you there as if you are like hanging out with Taeyang in the car, which, you know, I love going for drives.
Yes.
I swear to God, like I'm just numb. I just have to be. I have to be. Otherwise,
it's too much.
I'm suffering.
I'm just going to shut down. And then what's even better, like this moment just floored me because Taeyang was not giving us anything. And then all of a sudden in the car, wow. And then Namjoon from the backseat pops out.
Appears out of nowhere.
Oh my God. I was just like, no, oh no, I cannot handle this. So I just, I love that. I love Namjoon's verse right there. He looks incredible. And then, you know, Taejoon just has a special place. And I think both of our hearts, like,
yeah, we really love Taejoon.
We love them. They're just so sweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also need to talk about J-Hope's like beginning pose. Namjoon had been on top of the gas station and then the camera like sharply pans down. And Hoseok is just like so coolly like leaning on this old fashioned style gas pump.
Yeah, that
and,
fill up station.
Oh
yeah.
My God. Do not forget either that he's wearing that red leather shirt that is so incredible. And he is just immediately like he is turned on, you know?
Yeah,
like,
he really is turned on. I love that camera angle pan down from Namjoon up on the top of the building down to where Hoseok is. And he's leaning against that fill up station and just how he feels himself and how he dances. It's really incredible to get this screen time for him. He looks stunning. That red leather shirt.
I mean, he just looks so good in red. And you can tell, like, he loves that outfit. I love the amount of screen time he gets right there for sure.
Just vibrant. Yeah. We both love Yoongi's verse where he's on top of the car.
Oh, yes.
When we pan out from Taeyang and Namjoon's verses there, we see Yoongi on top of this car, the front hood of the car, and then hop down from it. But I really, again, just have to point out Yoongi's vocals. He is belting. He is such strong vocals during this part that I'm blown away. And I think I'm going to say this a million times in this episode. It's like the vocals are just blowing my mind.
Yeah, their vocals are just so incredible.
He's a rapper.
I know. He's a rapper. I feel like we got a little bit of his vocals in D2 and we were like, wow, Yoongi's vocals. Like, we were impressed with that. And now he's coming in. Like, his verse, he is truly belting it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Also, I really think, like, that whole car, everything about that car, I love it. Like, the Taeyong, the Namjoon, and then Yoongi on top, perfect. Like, literally the cherry on top of that moment, because that was also surprising and fun to be like, oh, he's on top of the car.
Yeah, it was a great shot. Yeah.
Okay, so we have to talk about Jimin's solo moment. He's like, I'm pretty sure he's riding down a forklift, but this is his little bridge moment. And everybody's talking about this moment. He is just, he looks so sweet and so happy, but a little bit seductive because of that, like, comma hairstyle. Always. And, like, I mean,
the seduction is always there.
I know. I mean, he's just being really flirty, but I cannot get over this line for him. I think he sounds so cute when he sings it. And I love this moment. I love
that every time we're getting a performance of Dynamite, we are getting a little bit of a different sound from Jimin for this part too. Like, he really plays around with it so that every performance of it is original.
I think that they're all kind of doing that in a little bit, but I think because this is such a standout moment, we really noticed Jimin, like, playing around, like, how do I want to perform this live?
He's so cute when he's coming down that forklift because it's just so zoomed in on his face. He does a little shrug, like,
and when he breaks into that smile,
breaks into a smile and walks off to join everyone. It's a great shot. For Jungkook, we really just have to say the curly hair that's going on. Mm-hmm. He looks so handsome. Yes. And he's still, to me, in this performance, he still looks a little young. The way that his hair is parted and the curly hair, while he's still presenting himself as young and cute, he still looks very, very handsome.
Yeah, he's quite handsome. The curly hair is definitely, like, his standout unique thing in this episode, in this performance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jin's, like, special little moment is that with both hands, he forms, like, a big heart and, you know, pushes it out to ARMY. And it's super, super cute. It's during one of his, like, little solo moments towards the end.
Mm-hmm. When he gets a little bit of his own solo dance and the members are around him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the iHeart Music Festival for 2020. This was aired September 18th at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. For this target audience for iHeart Music Festival, we really believe that it was targeted more towards a younger audience, teens to oldest millennials. So really, when I think of iHeart, I almost kind of feel like I'm potentially past the iHeart audience. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but I mostly, I don't know, I just don't listen to iHeartRadio.
Yeah, you listen to, like, Spotify.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I feel a little disconnected from it, I feel like surely my parents are disconnected from it, mm-hmm. or my older sisters. So I do think it's even younger than people who are 25, 26.
Yeah, I mean, and the iHeart Music Festival itself, like, just had a huge lineup of people performing that are pretty popular. Mm-hmm. So I could see, like, how it would appeal to younger people overall.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But for this performance, they end up doing Dynamite, Make It Right, Spring Day, and Boy With Love.
Incredible lineup. Yeah. Like, I was not expecting them to perform all of these songs, and they were so good.
Yeah. So for Dynamite, real quickly here, the set was just a little bit different, and we get the set, I think, a little bit during Make It Right. But there's a street, there's a crosswalk for, like, pedestrians. There's an older looking car that we get kind of, you know, between 60s, 80s vibe there. It looks kind of like a British car to an extent, but just, you know, a nicer looking car. And then there's also this newspaper stand off to the side, but it just looks like a street. We, for some reason, get British vibes. I think the crosswalk that really reminds me of Abbey Road. I can't help it, you know. I'm just, like, pointing to Kayla, the Abbey Road album that's just
over there.
Yeah. Vinyl Abbey Road,
right?
But yeah, so some of the standout moments.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so when Jimin sings, like, his disco overload right after Yoongi's verse, he is in a center, of course, and he like his body is almost angled away from us because he whips his head around his shoulder and he has one hip popped and like his knees are really bent. So he's kind of like squatted a little bit and he's just like disco overload. And he shakes his hips. He shakes his booty so much.
I mean, it's significant, the G booty that's going on. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is like his ass is right at the camera, but he's looking over his shoulder while he's got that disco pose, finger pointed up high towards the towards the ceiling, and it's a great shot.
It's
disco
just like
overload.
It's like two big hits, you know, like two big like bow bow, and it's impactful. So this is when it gets, I mean, if it hasn't been fangirly yet, because this is when it gets super fangirly. We need to talk about Taeyang in Suspenders. Also with these printed pants.
Fangirly for you.
Fangirly for me.
Which is crazy because I'm the Taeyang bias over here.
I don't know how you're not freaking out about these pants as much as I am. You're just numb to it at this point. He's been too much. But this is my breaking point, I think. Because they put him in these like Gucci printed pants that are like blue and like golden and white and very detailed.
That yellow golden.
Yeah, so it is like ultimate peacocking with the pants. And on top of that, he's wearing suspenders, which are like pulling the pants up, you know?
Yeah.
So this is just, I just cannot stop staring at Scratch the whole time. It's just mesmerizing. It is like, I cannot look, my eyes can't look away.
It's a vibrant printed pattern. But in addition to it, you were like, but Bethany,
the suspenders are pulling his pants up.
Like, and as the performance goes on and he dances more and more,
it increases. It like pulls tighter. And, you know, there's like a couple times when he like bends over or like when his choreography is front and center. And there's one part where they like, you know, the camera is above that area when he comes too close to the camera. And I truly feel like they cut that part out because it would have been obscene.
Too obscene.
Yeah.
Gotta get rid of it.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Another really standout moment that definitely stood out for a lot of ARMYs was Jin's part. So he comes when it's like the center part for him. He comes and brings his hands up to his face and he frames his face with his hands, but he like wiggles his fingers while he's framing his face.
Yeah.
And oh man, this is just so cute.
It's as if he's sparkling.
It's so cute, but it's also so pretty. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we've ever gotten anything from Jen quite like this.
Yeah.
It's just, I think, a little bit more out there for him. And I think it was viral all over Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was putting GIFs and videos of this part for
Jin.
This
is the best thing ever. It's just like he looks so stunning and beautiful and gorgeous, but also like seductive and
like, it's definitely saved to our phones.
Yeah, it is. It's on my, I have a photo widget now because I updated my phone and it's one of the pictures. So like just randomly it'll rotate through and be on my screen. I'll be like, oh my gosh. Yeah,
but Jin also has this gold ascot that he's wearing. I mean, just bright gold. His pants are bright gold.
Yeah. His pants are like that bright golden yellow that Taeyang has in his print, too. And Jin is just really standing out with those two. So Make It Right.
Yeah.
Make It Right was a really low-key performance. You know, there's pretty simple choreography. They brought back that choreo that they did at the Rock in New York at Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve. And so it was cool to see that again. Of course, they were doing it with without the stairs, which I feel like the stairs were a huge factor last time.
I mean, you can't really beat the first time you see it.
That's true.
Because when we saw it, they took off their jackets and body rolled.
The Yoongi body roll.
Yoongi especially. Yeah. But like all of them, what? Just seeing that jacket and I think Yoongi too, when he did that body roll, he like bit his lip.
Uh-huh. That was a big moment.
We're just talking about this Dick Clark's Rockin'
episode is already way more fangirly than I thought it was going to be.
I was like, we're going to be more informative. No, we're talking about Yoongi's body rolls and lip bites.
Hello.
We can't turn it off. But the choreography, that was really what we were talking about, is like we haven't seen this choreography since then, since quite literally the first of this year.
Yeah. So they kind of begin this choreography by sitting and standing around the dynamite set, which I thought was very cool. This is like the beginning of them like slowly transitioning from one stage to another stage, like during songs. So it was cool. They were kind of like lounging around and it was just nice to see them, you know, there. And then they slowly kind of made it to a different area.
Yeah, the transitions are done real nicely. I feel like Make It Right was a great transition from Dynamite into what's going to be Spring Day after this, where they're really sitting.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of low camera angles for this performance, which is really nice just to see a different angle. We really think that the camera work contributes a lot to the effect of how they perform and what makes it different. But when I was watching the Make It Right performance following Dynamite, we have gotten so much Dynamite lately. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm here for it. It's their new single.
It's
we
incredible.
Love seeing it. But I do think it's getting to the point where I'm like, okay, yeah, I've seen it quite a bit, that when they performed it, Make It Right, it really clicked for me how Dynamite doesn't have rap verses.
Yeah.
We knew this, mm-hmm. but hearing Make It Right and watching it being performed, I'm like, damn, I miss the rapping. Mm-hmm. And this is something that makes BTS as great as they are, is having three incredible rappers rapping all their own verses. So getting to get that with this Make It Right performance for me was like super impactful, and that I'm just really missing the rapping.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dynamite, that is like I think a con, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I love Dynamite all around.
Obviously.
But I really miss the rappers.
Yeah, and I don't blame you, and I agree with you. Like, that's something that we talked a lot about with Dynamite, is that it doesn't have a rap verse. And we kind of assume that that's because it's in English. Like, rapping is a difficult skill. It's an incredible skill. And like, BTS obviously are incredible rappers in Korean. But to develop your same caliber of rapping skill in another language, like, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Like, I've been speaking Spanish for 10 years and there's a couple songs that I can keep up with some parts, but like, I listen to the songs a lot. Like, you know, it's fucking hard to do that in another language. So anyways,
did I ever tell you that I learned a Spanish rap?
I think you did. Yeah. Was it
Donde está la biblioteca? Mi amo Tibon la araña discoteca. Yeah.
Okay, that's from Community.
It is from Community.
Because I'm rewatching Community right now.
Are you really?
Yeah, but I'm in like season 6, which is the last season. Shit has gotten so fucking weird. Like, every single season of Community just gets progressively more strange. Yeah. But anyways, that's incredible. I mean,
but it was hard.
Yeah. No, and I'm trying to like rap along with like Bad Bunny and it's just not working out, you know?
And you are well versed in Spanish. You teach it.
Yeah. So anyways, I think that, you know, it would be an incredible challenge for our rap line to be able to rap in English. But, you know, this is kind of my question, is that we know that they're working on an album. We know that this is a self-directed album, and we know that they're, you know, for lack of a better phrase, making all of the decisions. You know, obviously they have to like bring things to Big Hit, just like any artist is going to have to do with their record label.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that BTS is producing this album.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I just wonder, is BTS, you know, what capacity is this album going to be in English? Is it going to have more English songs? Are they going to be full English tracks? Is the rap line going to write verses in Korean and work with somebody to like translate them into good English verses and then go through the incredible task and challenge of like learning how to rap those well in English?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that really, you know, like, out of line to ask that?
Yeah. Is that what's going to happen?
Is that what's going to happen? Or is that just crazy?
Yeah. There's a lot of barriers and challenges to that. But also, seeing how successful Dynamite is as a fully English song, it wouldn't be, I think, completely out of the question that they would consider rapping more in English.
Yeah.
I really think that since there's been a gradual change with the English presence in their songs, I think that maybe they would rap a little bit more English. They already rap some English.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they're at the point of being fully English rap verses, but I do think that they might consider adding more to it and then maybe eventually doing a fully English song, yeah, rap and vocals.
And then the question, I mean, just plain, I hate when people play devil's advocate, but just because I feel like, you know,
it when people do that.
Because I feel like people would be wondering, like, what would it mean for them if their rap verses were fully in English as well as like all of the chorus, you know?
Yeah.
What is that impact? How would ARMY receive that? You know, how would, you know, like, their home base, you know, their fans in Korea who like they started with and supported, and you know, like, this is a Korean act, like, would people automatically reject it, you know, because they're doing something so outside of what they were ever expected to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's good to question that and to think about that. I hadn't really thought about just their Korean audience.
I mean, I don't know. You can cut that out.
No, I think it's really good that you're bringing that up because they are Korean musicians, mm-hmm, and to be breaking away from their native language.
Well, they've always just been, you know, we feel like we've seen them be so prideful of their Korean heritage. They perform in Hanbok all the time.
I know. I mean, this is something that hearing that Dynamite was going to be fully in English, I was hesitant. I'm like, don't fucking do that.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that.
Yeah. Like, is it taking anything away if they do that, if they go down that route? Now, for me personally, I feel like I would enjoy, you know, an album that had mixed, like, Korean, like, fully Korean songs, like, the way that they've always done it with a couple English phrases, like how K-pop does. Mm-hmm. But maybe then another English single or something on the album.
I would,
like,
yeah,
a mixed language album would be really cool.
Yeah, I would love that, too. But I would be curious to hear from if any of you Iconics are from Korea or live in Korea to reach out to us, because I think it would be interesting to hear someone who is a BTS fan in Korea or like from Korea, mm-hmm, their thoughts on their thoughts on doing fully English,
yeah,
potentially fully English albums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you're thinking, you know, even if the next album isn't fully English, if it's successful and it has some English on it, you know, is that where they're going to go?
BTS's opinion of it.
I am really interested to know, yeah, their opinion on it. I wish, like, this is one of the times I wish I could, like, just call them up and ask them, you know, or just, like,
new
really
Korean.
Pick you know, I wish, and they're probably even not at liberty to discuss, even, like, if an interviewer were to ask them that question. Or maybe they don't know yet, you know, maybe they're just going to see how things go and see what they want to do.
Yeah. I just hope that they do what they want to do.
Yeah.
But surely there's a lot of discussion that's going into this.
Yeah. I think that's the most important thing for me is that they're doing what they want to do.
And I think for any ARMY is just, we want to make sure that BTS is doing what they want to do.
Yeah, for sure. And just supporting them in that.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. So a huge tangent. So, but yeah, I guess we're still talking about, Make It Right.
Yeah.
And so, so in Make
Just
It
bring
Right,
it back. All right.
So in Make It Right, like, yes, the rap verses, that's how we got on that. The rap verses are incredible.
I think it's significant. Yeah. You know? I was like, damn, I missed the rap.
Yeah. Because they really stand out in this performance because Make It Right comes right after Dynamite, and the rap verses in Make It Right are so good individually. We really loved how when Hoseok was rapping, Jimin was backing him up, doing some backup vocals. And then when Namjoon was rapping, it was Jungkook doing some backup vocals. It was just awesome. And again, with the like live vocals really playing a huge factor in the performance.
Just amplified.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So from here, they transition into Spring Day. And this is where we have a whole different discussion going on.
Oh, shit. This stuff is so cool.
This is not fangirl. This is like, we have some theories here. Not even theories, but just...
Observations.
Correlations. Where our minds go to.
Yeah.
So there is this rotating stage that is brought forth. And it is significant. It stands out from all of the other performances that we've gotten to see. But as they're transitioning from Make It Right into Spring Day, I believe it's right during Yoongi's verse,
mm-hmm,
they get onto this rotating stage,
yeah,
and we see two BTSs.
Yeah.
I mean, we see the BTS on the left and the BTS on the right while this stage is revolving.
Yeah.
This stage, this revolving stage that's sectioned off, is exactly like their rotating stage from the Grammys.
Yeah, from the Grammys performance with Lil Nas X. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dude, when this happened, so like BTS themselves, they were just like casually standing back. You know, I felt like, okay, they're going to rotate away and then it'll like transition into another song somehow. Yoongi like steps back onto the platform so coolly as he's finishing his rap.
Of course.
And as it starts rotating, like Make It Right is finishing, okay? It's not even over yet. We see like Jimin on the other side singing the end of Make It Right in like a different costume, like outfit.
The spring day outfits that we're about to get. Spring day BTS.
It's like rotating in on this like you know, it has like three sides, a three-sided rotating stage. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that spring day Jimin is singing the Make It Right. So it's like, it's giving the perspective, it's even more in real time. Like you are seeing two Jimins.
Two BTSs.
Two Namjoons. Yeah. You are, yes.
Yeah.
Very neat, but we just can't help but to think of the Grammys with this.
Yeah.
And for me, I was like, okay, during the Grammys, they didn't get their own stage. They had to perform. In order to perform, they performed with Lil Nas and some other kid. Sorry, I don't know his name.
Oh, was it the Backpack Kid? Was he?
Yeah, he was in
it. Okay, yeah. I don't even remember. I only remember BTS as part of that performance. Yeah,
but I mean, like three different stages, three different things on this platform that they have rotating.
Right.
But to see that BTS is on both sides, I think this is them saying, we deserve our own stage. We don't even, if you want to use this revolving stage, you don't even need another act. Just we can figure it out to put us on all three sections of that platform. Yeah. To me, this is a little bit of an F you, a little bit of a like, we don't need anyone else to perform and deliver a great stage.
Hell yeah.
Performance. Yeah. I mean, just incredible performance.
Definitely.
I could go on and on.
Because like in the Grammys, BTS was literally rotated around like bye-bye, you know, like they had their tiny little moment of singing like their little verse.
We'll give you a little bit of time on stage, but we're going to put you away.
Right. Yeah. And this is literally them showing like, you can't put us away. There's no reason that you should hide us and you're not really able.
It's mind blowing to see that there's two BTSs in the same time.
Yeah.
Especially what you brought up where that spring day that's about to happen, that BTS that's about to perform that is singing Make It Right in real time with the Make It Right BTS that is about to go off stage on this platform, like, this rotating
Jimin
platform.
Sings his part and then it cuts back to the original Make It Right BTS and Namjoon sings his part after that. Like,
it's mind blowing.
The editing that's possible in 2020 during COVID when they can just edit two different shots together. But
this is Big Hit saying, we can fucking do it ourselves. So Grammys, you better be able to figure out how to do that fucking shit too.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm getting on the soapbox, okay? But for me, this was so significant and it makes me so proud because I love how BTS isn't afraid, and Big Hit, they aren't afraid to throw some shade.
Yeah.
Today I wanted to share this live on the podcast, but today, Kayla, I went back and listened to our 16th episode.
Really?
Very Good Camera.
Oh, shit.
Because Very Good Camera, their intro performance trailer, which you should all go and watch, that performance back in 2014, 2015, they did a huge shady performance because basically another award show in Korea slighted them with like terrible fucking camera work.
From like the top of a fucking building where like they looked like ants on stage. You couldn't see anything.
And I think this is just the same kind of thing, but they're fucking doing it to the US.
Damn.
They're doing it to the Grammys.
Oh my God. You know what it is too? Because they have to be humble kings. You know, there's so many things that they can't say and can't do, but they can show with their performance. And I feel like, you know, these things are symbolic. I definitely feel like Very Good Camera vibes. And really, Namjoon was just talking about in an interview about the struggle to get recognized by the Grammys and how, you know, like sales and charting and stuff like that does not matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And so he's like, we really don't know how
I love that he brought that up. I thought that was kind of out of the ordinary for him to bring up something like that, which I think really confirms the speculation that goes on within ARMY's community to hear that also BTS thinks, yeah, there's something going on that isn't quite right.
I feel like, you know, BTS themselves, they're kind of like drawing attention to it. If they're saying, they're answering that in an interview. I've never heard them answer a question like that in an interview where they're like, at least recently, being like intentionally a little shady. And for Namjoon to literally say like, we don't really know how, you know, to get noticed by the Grammys or what goes on to be able to go and attend and to win awards, basically.
Very forward and a little bold comparatively to other interviews that BTS have done. They generally try to stay pretty level-headed and not say anything that might like strike some questions or be considered not controversial, but just like, ooh, he's questioning the process.
Yeah, so I feel like this is one of those things where they're just showing that on stage again.
Definitely.
Yeah.
They're frustrated.
Yeah. But just a beautiful transition into Spring Day. So they rotate out for Spring Day fully, and there's like this Grammy style phonograph, of course, right behind them. It's like front facing, so you can see down into the phonograph. And then behind that is like this, you know, like theater-esque stage curtain. This is a really great performance because BTS is seated for this. And this has really like become a trend, I feel like, at this point. They've always done it a little bit where they sat for performances, like with the song Like and Let Me Know. But really, these types of seated performances are few and far between. We've recently seen them seated for some Japanese promos with Lights and Stay Gold. And I remember talking about those, and I remember being like extremely appreciative that they were seated, because I feel like when they're seated for a performance, their vocals really get to shine. And I remember talking about like, wow, this is so stripped down. Like there's not a lot of production going on. It's just BTS themselves shining. So, you know, they kind of end Make It Right seated and then begin Spring Day. And again, their vocals are just so forward. Yeah. Like, just, we have to reiterate again, like, this is another thing that's gotten to shine during this comeback, prioritizing the vocal levels over the music levels, and just allowing them to, like, be able to devote all of their breath towards singing.
Yeah. And that's what's really great. We love to hear that. We love that they're giving the opportunity to really just sit and sing and show their talent, their vocal talent, without having to put their breath towards dancing and hard work. But the aesthetics for this stage for Spring Day are just so beautiful. Every single member looks stunning. Mm-hmm. The lighting, their outfits, it's really just Spring Day vibes with how beautifully aesthetic they all look. J-Hope starts this song, and he has such a healing voice, and I love getting to hear J-Hope sing. I just love getting to hear more of J-Hope with Make It Right and Spring Day, you know, where we really don't get a whole lot of him in Dynamite. Mm-hmm. So again, just refreshing. But Jungkook's voice also too, during Spring Day, I got emotional for this performance. Mm-hmm. Jungkook's voice is just really putting so much passion into it. We get close-up shots of that ARMY on his knuckles.
Yes.
Just so, so great. Jimin and Jin are also so, so passionate with their singing.
Mm-hmm. And then, man, again, I'm just being destroyed by Taeyeon. You're just wrecked and I'm just destroyed. He has this beautiful falsetto, and like he really shows off this amazing head voice that is just like, wow, Taeyeon, like for him to be like this true baritone and hit those incredibly high notes, they were just gorgeous. I just love the tone of his voice. I love how it came through with that.
I did too. Yeah.
Okay, so for Boy With Love, the stage rotates again, but they're not on it this time. They're just in front of it. And to us, this kind of symbolized that not only are they going to rotate back onto stage if you rotate them off, but they're going to fucking stay on stage.
They're staying on stage.
They're not even going to rotate off. They're staying.
They're not meant to be on that stage. Yeah. They're not meant to be brought in and out. They are meant to be put in the forefront.
Yeah, front and center.
Yeah.
So this stage is really fun. There's a huge disco ball wall hanging from the ceiling with this really awesome holographic background that has some like pink and purple and blue lighting. Mm-hmm. What I really thought was interesting was like on this third section of the stage are these like 10 massive records, or like we thought maybe CDs because it was so holographic, and they're all turned on their sides. It looks as if like, you know, how they would look from the side of a jukebox or something if you're shuffling through records.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe this is perhaps nodding to the fact that they are platinum earning artists.
They are.
For Love Yourself Answer, for the song Boy With Love, and for the entire Map of the Soul 7 album.
And surely Dynamite is on there. Oh, at this
yeah.
point.
I mean, yeah, I didn't even look to see if, yeah. If it's not already,
it's been long enough for that to have taken place.
Right. And if it's not, it's gonna go platinum.
Yeah.
But yet BTS themselves are not considered for the Grammys for solo stages and for awards, even though they are triple platinum earning artists and some of, you know, literally the biggest act in the world right now.
The entire world.
The entire world.
Yeah. I really think, again, this is just a big F you to the Grammys. I mean, I don't even want to say F you. I want it to be a more of a listen here. Like, this is who we are. This is our level of success. And I think they're trying to call them out on, like, you need to give us what you know we deserve.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think these giant platinum colored records are really pointing to that.
Maybe that's why they came so hard with Dynamite. I think they're all of them are coming so hard with Dynamite.
I really feel like with Dynamite, they're just like, okay, we're all in. Like, we're doing this.
Totally all in. Yeah. Fully English single. The aesthetics, the outfits, the vocals, mm-hmm. everything is top tier.
Yeah.
Third shelf, top shelf.
Yeah, top shelf.
Yeah. I love in this performance just their outfits and how clean cut they all look. Taeyang has this pink jacket that really makes him stand out. But something that stood out to me was that Jungkook is not in a very vibrant outfit. He's in this cream colored outfit, which mm-hmm. just kind of goes a lot like an off-white. Yeah. You know?
It's really subtle.
It's so subtle. But for me, Jungkook wrecks me the entire time with this Boy With Love performance mm-hmm. at this iHeartRadio Music Festival. And I'm like, wow, for him to be wearing such a low-key outfit, but to stand out to the extent that he does,
yeah.
It's just his pure charisma, talent, vocals, stage presence. Yeah. He has it all there. He really does such a great job with this performance.
I cannot believe how wrecked you were being by him.
I know. It's so random. Yeah. It's so random.
I just have to talk about Jimin, who has this flirt on. He has a super flirty performance, and especially this moment when Jin is singing Come Be My Teacher.
Jimin
is right there at the front of the line, and he is just flirting on maximum levels, smiling, just being super cute.
Yeah.
And he gets Jin to break a little bit from the performance and kind of smile. And I just love this. It's so, so cute.
The flirting is really turned all the way up, dialed all the way up with Jimin. And to see Jin break from it is just incredible.
Yeah.
Because you just see like he's being affected.
And which I just feel like we don't see that between those two very often. So I love this moment.
Yeah. Another shot that we get that we haven't really gotten with Boy With Love before was when Jungkook looks up. They all actually look up. Jungkook's just in the center, but they all look up and we get this overhead camera shot of all of them looking up at this camera.
Yeah.
It's just all of them are so smiley and we love it so much. It's just hard not to just notice it and just be so grateful for that extra little shot that we've never gotten before mm-hmm. as many times as we have seen Boy With Love.
Yeah. I mean, again, like I feel like this has come up so much in this episode, but I'm just thinking about how every single time BTS performs something, they want to bring us something new and different. Mm-hmm. And I just, the entire time that they've, you know, been promoting Dynamite, they have succeeded at doing that at every single turn. Every performance has been different.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I mean, I think back to our first comeback, like DNA. Remember the comeback stages for DNA, like Mnet or KBS or whatever? The main things that were different was like different outfits, right?
Different outfits, yeah.
And, you know, there was that one performance with like the red hearts.
Yeah. But like, maybe different facial expressions, but
right.
I mean, the different sets, the different camera work.
No.
I mean, sets A little bit, but for the most part, these performances for Dynamite, Boy With Love, and everything else, they really have been changing it up.
They have just evolved so much, I feel like, as performers, even in the short time that we've been ARMY, and what they're able to deliver. And you're just like, yes, of course. But I just love that they're really giving us something new and different with every single performance.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. J-Hope also looks really great in his suit. It reminded me so much of the Just Dance performance that he did at Wembley. That outfit that he was wearing, he's just so smiley and just really bringing forth all that stage presence that he has. Mm-hmm. So I just love his Just Dance performance, and I particularly love his performance at Wembley for Just Dance. And so that outfit was so reminiscent of this outfit that we get during Boy With Love at iHeartRadio. And I'm like, wow, I miss J-Hope. I miss J-Hope so much.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I miss him too. So Yoongi, of course, in Boy With Love, he just has, we have to say, an iconic verse. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves this verse. This is some of our favorite Yoongi lines. It's just powerful. He has the center choreo as they all dance around him. And honestly, with his delivery, he's like bordering on like a dark concept. I feel like he is, you know, just attacking us a little bit with this verse.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There's also a little bit of a Hope Cook verse here that's so cute. Jungkook, when he comes to the front with Hoseok, and Jungkook does that, oh no. Mm-hmm. He is so cute and so funny. They really hammed it up for this part.
Yeah,
especially Jungkook, and he's hamming it up so much that kind of like what Jimin did for Jin, it's like Jungkook doing to J-Hope.
Yes.
And J-Hope is just laughing and smiling and cracking under pressure because Jungkook is being so playful and cute.
Yeah, he just can't help but to like give into it. Also, Jungkook is like staring right at the camera for his two parts when he's up there. It's like, can you please just
I
not?
I really got wrecked with Jungkook. I rarely get wrecked by Jungkook anymore, but here I am.
Jungkook in the cream suit.
Boy with love. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
You just never know with these boys.
I know.
They're just always being wrecked.
Okay, let's talk about Tiny Desk Concert. Mm-hmm. To learn that they were doing this was truly exciting. I love Tiny Desk Concert already, and I'm like kind of a fan of NPR. I listen to a couple different NPR podcasts.
I mean, we're podcasters. Yeah. So to see that they performed for Tiny Desk NPR, I mean, you and I both love podcasts.
Yeah.
And just, I think this is why we love audio and just making sure we have good sound quality and things. So to see that they were on NPR's Tiny Desk Concert. Yeah.
Incredible.
We both were like, what?
Wow. Yeah. And we know the standard for Tiny Desk Concert that is, you know, typically shown from artists. We knew that it was going to be stripped down. Tiny Desk Concert is always live band. We knew it was going to be live band and just vocal standout. So for their Tiny Desk Concert, which Namjoon said wasn't so tiny, they performed Dynamite, Save Me, and Spring Day. And they were generally seated for this entire performance, which again goes along with the Tiny Desk Concert format.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for this audience, we really want to talk about the uniqueness of this audience, because NPR, we both kind of agree that it really is more of the millennials, and the millennials that aren't on that stem of Gen Z.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we are. Yeah. We are so on the line of Gen Z and millennial. So when this NPR Tiny Desk was put out, my sister, who is 30, her friend Anthony, who I worked with, he messaged me. He's like 35.
Mm-hmm.
Corey was like, what? They're on NPR Tiny Desk? You know, and Corey is he's 29.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, totally. This is an entirely different audience that they are presenting themselves to that I don't think has been done before. Maybe it has, but like it's just a whole different group of people.
Yeah.
That they are, I mean, this is like the older millennials.
And this is really cool because, you know, this was their second time on America's Got Talent when they performed in there. I don't think we looked up. I'm not sure if they performed at iHeart before.
But they have definitely worked with iHeart multiple times.
Yeah, they've done ample interviews and everything. Interviews, like, if you watch iHeart stuff or listen to iHeart stuff, you've probably heard BTS.
They did an iHeart concert recently.
Yeah, but like, I feel like with NPR,
they've never done
anything, you know, related to NPR at all. And it's totally a niche audience, but a large audience that I was previously untapped.
A niche audience that I think has really high expectations. Yeah. I think they are not easily persuaded. I feel like they are generally, you need to blow their mind, impress them. They have such high standards.
And that's also because usually a Tiny Desk concert does that exact thing.
Because it's so stripped down.
It's so stripped down, and it is just the artist, you know, bearing their soul and their vocals and whatever, you know, handful of songs they want to perform. You know, these are some of my favorite performances from artists just because I think it's such a unique experience for them to do and such a unique setting.
It's in this type of setting that you get that goosebump, chill up your spine, because it's just so stripped down. You really can hear the talent. You can hear like, wow, this is just... the way that it pleases your ears is so different from what you hear just like on their radio songs.
Yeah. When I watched this performance, I immediately, this is my favorite BTS live performance to date, not including concerts that I've been to because those are other, you know, but as far as like for an interview or for a show or whatever, this is my favorite. Yeah. Because the vocals are just so incredible, and I just cannot believe how well they, you know, I mean, it's unfathomable how incredible they are. I immediately decided that anybody that I introduced to BTS, this is going to be like the first thing I show them, because it has Dynamite, which is incredible, and it's fully in English for like that general American audience. Save Me. I did not expect them to perform Save Me.
I didn't expect Save Me either, but I was so happy that they did. As much as I love Spring Day, Queen, Spring Day, We All Bow Down, We All Stream.
Right.
But Save Me is one of my all-time favorites, especially like the choreography and all of that too. But the song itself has always had a special place in my heart. I've always really particularly loved it. Mm-hmm. So to hear this stripped down version of Save Me with a live band was like everything we've always needed.
Yes. And I feel like people who are being newly exposed to BTS with this would love it. Like, be like super impressed. Like, we watched it before recording and I said to you, I don't think that anyone objectively could watch this and say that they are not super talented. Mm-hmm. Like, you would have to at least recognize, even if it wasn't like your style of music or whatever, you'd have to at least recognize that these people are so fucking talented.
So talented.
Like, their vocals. I mean, Jimin's vocals. Holy shit. This is why I have to double bias.
Yeah.
Like, this is why.
Go on.
This is why. Because they were literally perfection. So, he looked incredible, whatever. But his vocals, I have never heard them just so full, so just... I hate to talk about it, but, like, we know, like, Jimin stands, you really can't deny. Like, he's been pitchy in the past. Like, there's been pitchy moments. And he's had, like, more struggles with vocals than, like, other vocal line people.
I think it's because his style of singing
is so unique and so difficult. Unique.
And I think because he had this higher register, I don't know the ins and outs of K-pop or Big Hit, but I do know in general with K-pop, it's not so much about vocal talent. It's vocal uniqueness also brings a huge factor to a group.
Yeah.
And I think Jimin, they really were like, okay, he's got this higher register and we can take advantage of this to bring that vocal uniqueness.
Yeah.
And with that, it takes so much vocal training that I think he's just, because of the position that he's in with the lines and like what they're asking him to sing, it's inevitable that he's going to be more pitchy than the others because of the challenging notes that he's having to sing.
Yeah,
and with this unique vocal ambiance, yeah. You know.
He has a completely unique, like, vocal tone that we've never heard. And that was the first thing that drew me into him and in the beginning of Stanning, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, another thing to that contributes to, like, struggles with performing is, you know, and having pitchiness is just the dancing at the same time. Like, we kind of touched on it earlier. But, you know, having to dance and the caliber that Jimin dances at and the perfection that he has in his dance is obviously going to affect vocals. It's like usually when BTS is performing, there's like some sort of, you know, backup vocal track that, you know, is with them just because their dancing is insane.
Yeah.
So I just think that the opportunity for BTS to fully sit down for this whole thing in the, you know, style of Tiny Desk Concert, but also just to show how incredible their vocals are, really allowed Jimin to shine. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I've never heard him sound this incredible.
Yeah, we watched it with Corey, and Corey was like, Jimin. Mm-hmm. Of all of it. And Corey was so excited to watch this NPR Tiny Desk of BTS. And the member that he really was like pointing out was Jimin.
Yeah.
Just incredible vocals. Totally agree. Yeah. I loved that with Dynamite, their opening song. There was so much energy. It was such a fun performance, just a blast of serotonin. I love that even though they are sitting, a couple of them can't help but to get up and dance. Yes. Like, I mean, and this was true for all three songs, but they just couldn't help but to get up and move.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, yeah, they were sitting and they were really able to focus on these vocals. Mm-hmm. We really liked that these words that they had at the beginning of Spring Day. It started with Jungkook saying, you know, basically that times are really tough right now and that we're all waiting for that Spring Day. Mm-hmm. But to hear the music play for Spring Day to begin and to hear that Namjoon, while there's music playing, just walk us in. It was so powerful.
For him to say, like, fuck, I forgot what he said.
I forgot what he said,
too. No, just for him to say, this has been the hardest summer ever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but we know that Spring Day will come. Like, that just made me want to cry.
Me too. I know.
I love that they performed Spring Day. I wasn't surprised by it like I was with Save Me. But I feel like they just did so well. Mm-hmm. They love performing Spring Day for ARMY. You know, they said that they missed us and that they loved us during the performance. And I just thought it was the best way to end the Tiny Desk concert.
Mm-hmm. This Tiny Desk was really great. I'm glad that we were able to slip it here at the end of the episode. We weren't intending on it, but they quite literally released it today, which is what, September 21st, when we record, and we're like, we just got to put it in.
Yeah. I mean, we had to talk about it.
We felt it fit.
Of course. It just kind of goes along with what they've been doing lately.
Yeah.
And their September promotions. But we loved it. We loved all of these performances, truly. Mm-hmm. And
there was a lot that happened over these past few performances. Mm-hmm. I think there was more than just us performing, BTS performing. It was a lot of messages that were being delivered. Opportunity. I think the NPR Tiny Desk was a huge opportunity. I don't know if Big Hit realized how big of an opportunity it was to reach a totally different audience mm-hmm. that I don't think they have been able to touch up till now.
Yeah. I feel like big takeaways from what they've been doing is that they somehow make each performance different and incredible and makes us want to keep watching and keep enjoying it. But they also within the last week have reached three different distinct audiences. Mm-hmm. I think like in a very targeted way.
Mm-hmm. And that they have really proven that they have the talent and vocal ability, and that there's really no reason for the Grammys to be snubbing them at this point.
Yeah.
You know, like, if they are going to not get their own solo stage or be nominated for a Grammy at this point, it is more than what they claim that the Grammys are.
Yeah.
It's more than numbers. It's more than popularity. Mm-hmm. It's more than radio plays.
Yeah, because what they're doing, I mean, again, objectively, you can't watch that and say they're not incredibly talented.
Yeah.
They blew that whole performance out of the water. And I really think that they are saying you need to pay attention.
They're making a statement.
They're making a huge statement. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're making their place, really. I feel like September is them really making their place in the United States, solidifying their spot.
I agree.
Yeah. They're making that seat at the table.
Definitely.
Yeah. Wow. So we hope that you guys enjoyed talking about these with us also. We really hope you enjoyed this podcast, or if you've enjoyed any of our other podcasts, we love to hear your feedback. We love to see your reviews on iTunes. We were just reading through those a couple days ago and they were so, so sweet.
Oh,
they were
making us
like, wow, you guys are so kind and so incredible in what you write for
it's
us there.
It's so motivational for us. And it just really, it energizes us to keep going and
just
do better.
Just to see how you guys feel. And that, you know, you really do like this and you like what we're doing. And, you know, if you want us to know what you think about the podcast, then leave us a review.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before we wrap it up, we do want to say a special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially our VIP iconics, Eileen Ruchal, Michelle Park, Deja, and Meg Di Ruggiero. We love you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're awesome. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you checked your inbox this week.
Yeah, we've got special messages for you.
Yeah, we sent you something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways, we love you guys. Thank you for listening. And if you want to follow us on social media, if you're not already, or if you want to donate to our charity of the month, again, you can find links for all of those things in the description.
In the description. Thanks for listening and thanks for standing BTS.